Bucky here at the top of the episode to say, hey, thanks for being with us throughout 2020. This year has been, pretty damn grueling, so I just wanted to say it's cool you're listening to this podcast and still thinking about Homestuck for funsies. This was one of the most fun things I did this year, and it's been incredible to find out how many people are still interested in prospecting and this sort of thing. Thank you to everyone who contributed by listening, or by making episodes, or even just hanging out in our Discord.
Hey, join our Discord at the link in the description.
This episode is the last episode of Season 1 of Will at Homestuck. I'm going to be taking a break from the podcast for the months of December and January to focus on writing for and directing the Homestuck fan visual novel New Game Plus. This game is going to be a post-spurb romp into speculative Earthsea worldbuilding, getting the kids some goddamn therapy, leftism, and, giving pizza to a turtle? No, that's what my notes say. Find out more information on that at hsnewgameplus.cards.co with the word plus spelled out, and follow our Twitter at hsnewgameplus for updates. Also, stay tuned at the end of the episode for the day Will at Homestuck will return with Season 2. Content warning. This episode contains some swearing, spoilers for Infinity Train Books 1 through 3, as well as minor spoilers for The Adventure Zone Amnesty, and an exorbitant amount of Randall. Big thanks to Danny the Spoonlord and Janiyah Riley, our Masters in Hushian Analysis recipients on Patreon. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Our intro theme song, Sunbanger, is by @_tittle on Instagram. Our outro theme is by JoJo Funk McLovin, who can be found at funkmclovin.bandcamp.com. Enjoy the episode.
But occasionally, you just go yee-haw.
Sometimes the yee-haw just jumps out.
We need the yee-haw sometimes in these trying times.
I'm taking a vacation in the quirky car.
I'm eating Fruit Loops like a horse. There's no punchline, I'm just eating Fruit Loops like a horse.
And I'm Randall's campaign manager.
Welcome to Will at Homestuck, a podcast where we put media in the Homestuck blender to see what comes out. I'm Bradley, I go by he, him pronouns, and you can find me at the Will at Homestuck Discord.
I'm Danny, and I go by they, them pronouns, and I'm also in the Homestuck Discord. And I'm also employed since the last time we recorded. Yay!
Yay, work.
Aww.
Not yay.
It's been a while since we recorded. It's been like a month.
I'm Tay, I use they, she pronouns, and you can find me at MeowserWowsers on Twitter.
This week, we're returning to Infinity Train to put the cast in an S-burp session. Guys,
let's get this bread, gamers!
Yes! Okay. I've gone back and I listened to our episodes. Well, I listened to part two of our episode because part one of our episode I already listened to a while ago. But part two of our episode I listened to yesterday? The day before? I have brainworms now. They're contagious. Do you guys want to hear my my brain thought that is brought on by sleep deprivation?
Yeah. Always.
Okay. I'm thinking the train is like the video game Suburb. Like, that's their entry into the game. It's the train. Except for the train is also the game, so it's like, you enter the train. Ta-da! You're now in Suburb.
Okay, so instead of the reckoning happening and then, you know, part of whatever's left of the planet ends up being your gateway to the medium and everything, the train transports you instead.
I mean, since the outside of the train is all desert of the world, it's like, that's the outside of the train. It's the end of the world. Oh no, except for it's not the end of the world because you get to escape.
Unless it is the end of the world and like they think, oh, well, I, you know, we can get back to Earth. But like they exit a train car and they're like, oh, turns out
maybe not.
No more Earth.
I still like the idea of they make your life as a train car, but you never know that you don't actually leave the train. You just go in through another train car and you think, yeah, I'm totally home. Except for you're not home. You're in the train still.
You never left.
What happens on the train stays on the train, because you could never leave. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting then, though, because you would be able to keep that concept of when somebody goes on the train, they go missing, and, like, the rest of life goes on without them. If it, you know, the reckoning didn't destroy wherever you're from.
Or it could be that the train exists in a time far, far in the future, and it's endlessly traveling the ruins of destroyed Earth after the reckoning that's just been razed to bits by it. There's nothing growing, everything's dead,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Either way, I like both.
Time traveling train. The train is the TARDIS. Logic. Huh. Yes. Yes. I totally lost my train of thought. Train of thought.
Train of thought.
Yeah.
I did it. I did Infinity Train.
We finished. That's it. The end. Podcast done.
The whole episode leads up to that joke, and we're just like, we all, yeah. And then like freeze frame of us all jumping.
No, I think if we did a 9-minute episode, Bucky wouldn't let us record anymore. It only took us 9 minutes to do it. We did Super Obsession Infinity Train. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Tay.
Speed rain. Speed rain? Speed run. Speed run.
Check out our S-Burp speed run. We made a new world record today. We beat Randall's world record.
It's my PB. Gold split, baby.
This is a 100% run. No glitching allowed.
Any percent glitchless.
If you glitch, you get eaten by the gomes. That's the rules.
Okay, we're talking about, like, glitches and stuff. So, I was thinking about who, like, is the most glitchy character.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Dracula.
True.
An actual glitch in Spurb.
In Burb.
In Burb?
In the Burbs. Speaking of non-standard game stuff, and I wanted to try to bring this up at a more relevant point, but I feel like I'm going to forget about it if I don't say it now. We were talking about the Mirror Crew. If you had, you know, you've got the black and white Carpathians, but what if you had them as this sort of, this would be the, it would only be for the purpose of being neat. It would serve no story function, but if you had a third set of Carpathians that their whole shtick is just that they're shiny.
Oh my gosh.
We have a shiny finish.
It's like, you ever have like one of those chess sets where it's like, chrome versus
glass.
Standard white. Yeah, like chrome there versus you go.
Glass or something, yeah. There you go.
Which implies that there would be a fourth crew of glass people.
True that. They shattered them all.
If you had the glass, the black Carpathians, and the white Carpathians, and the mirror Carpathians, we have three seasons. It fits.
Wait, three seasons?
Of Infinity Train.
Are you saying, like, a different crew every single time?
I'm thinking, like, well, it's like the train is one crew, but, like, different people keep coming through, because if the train is a giant time-traveling beacon of all different points in time, then, like, you'd have the white crew, and then you'd have the black crew, and then you'd have the mirror crew, and they can all come in at different times.
Ah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
I'm not all here. You're going to have to work with me, Brad.
That is okay.
That's okay. All fine. I was like, that's why I was just like, are you sure you want to do this right now? Like, it's okay.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. It's just my brain is going to make logical leaps I can't explain with my mouth.
Brain hurdy disease.
I call that 3 a.m. brain.
Yes. It's Australia brain times.
Australia brain?
Randall brain.
I have Randall brain. Last week I had Randall disease and now I have Randall brain.
It's progressed.
Last week, that's the thing. Last episode.
You have Randall disease, and it's progressed to your brain, and now you've got Randall brain.
Have like a I don't know if there are ad cuts in the show, but
yes,
in like right before your ad cut, play a Sarah McLachlan song. Hi, this is our co-host Danny. They have Randall disease, and if you were here for last time, you may have heard about this. But what you may not have heard is that it's progressed to stage 2. Full on Randall.
I'm pretty sure we can get Bucky to record Randall. A fake commercial for us.
If we do not help our dear friend Danny right now, Randall will come out of the woodwork and 360 no-scope them.
Jesus!
But you can stop this by listening to our ads. So that this podcast has some form of revenue. Thank you.
What if they like
for Danny's expensive medical bills to treat the Randall disease and the subsequent Randall brain?
There's no cure for Randall brain.
So that you can help scientific research in the future for a Randall vaccine. So that no one will ever have to go through this ever again.
God, if there was a Randall vaccine, that would just be like injecting Randall into you.
Inject Randall into my body.
But dead Randall.
Dead Randall, or almost dead Randall.
You think he's dead, but this is how we get the zombie disease, is Randall. You think you're injecting dead Randall into you, but it's really live Randall.
I mean, if we're going with how some vaccines have been manufactured in the past, take, for example, the failure of a vaccine, the Lyme disease vaccine, which is basically just taking crushed up ticks and then injecting them into people. And it kind of half works, but my point is crushed up Randall.
Can you crush a Randall?
Water? I mean, welcome to the hydraulic press channel. Today we are crushing Randall.
Oh, just imagine crushing your little Randall, like, hello. Then as he gets squished down, he, like, morphs out onto the sides, and, like, you see his face coming out all sides of the hydraulic press, and, like, squirting up the little holes.
That's horrific.
I'm just imagining, like, super stretched out little Randall faces, just like, hey, guys.
Like, have you seen it when they crush the, like, little squishy toys or, like, little stress balls and stuff? It'd be like that, except for it has Randall's face on
it. Like Orbeez and shit.
Horrific, actually.
Randall Orbeez.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, we have to stop because we will keep going.
I know, that's the problem. This is the exact same fucking problem that we've had every single time, is that the first 30 minutes is pure bullshit.
What if we dropped Orbeez and Randall, though?
He would just, like...
He'd be so colorful!
Okay, hold on. Would he become one giant mass of Orbeez? Or would every single individual Orbeez be a separate Randall?
I think of it as this is apparel for Randall, because you can't really put a shirt on him, right? But you can put little colorful beads and shit in him, so he's like, this is my fashion, I'm expressing myself.
He'd be so pretty. Aww. It's like, now he's a rainbow!
Let him express himself. It's like Funfetti Cake.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if he can, like, maintain where they stay on him, he could use the little Orbeez to make it look like he has earrings.
Or, like, little blushy cheeks.
Yeah.
At his and one's wedding, he can make himself all pretty.
There you go.
Oh.
Make him look like a little, like those Christmas sweaters that just have, like, the little puffballs hot glued onto them.
Oh, he'd be an orb shape like his future husband.
Oh, goodness.
They could just, like, roll into each other for smooch.
You know what Randall is?
What?
He is the sweater made out of tears that SpongeBob made.
I hate that. Why would you do that? We're doing our best.
This one I made out of my tears.
At least it's not the one made out of, like, eyelashes.
What's this thing made out of? Eyelashes!
Watch me vomit. Oh my god, that's disgusting. Even whenever I was a kid, whenever that bit would play, I'd just be like, I'm going to puke, actually. That's the worst thing I've ever thought of in my life.
I mean, it does look pretty gritty.
It's hair. Hair is gross.
Hair is so gross.
It is. I'm sorry, I thought of a terrible thing.
Tell me.
The episode where Squidward goes into the future... crossover, he has the mirror crew.
Oh, everything is chrome in the future.
Exactly! Why is everything chrome? Everything's chrome in the future.
Future.
Oh my gosh, that could be the tagline for the future crew. The mirror crew.
I hate a moral coward, one who lacks a manly spark. I'm sorry, I have to, like, immediately start singing it. So, oh my god, let's actually get on topic, though.
Okay.
So, wait, before we continue, we need to do the class spec review. We need to all list off, like, we can take turns. I still have everything written down in the exact same order that you gave it to me, Danny. So, if we want to take turns, there's only three, there's six, and so you've got 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, that we could just read off in order.
That sounds fair.
Do you have it up in front of you?
All right, let's list these fuckers.
Who do you want to go first?
All right, I'll start off. Tulip, we decided, Maid of Mind.
Amelia as the Witch of Time.
Jessie as the Knight of Heart.
Grace as Sliff of Blood.
Simon as the Prince of Space, because we have princesses.
And Hazel as the Heir of Hope.
And you were going to say that it's because of me, the Prince of Space, because I have Prince disease and I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
But we love you anyway.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself. I'm a mage, so that's even weirder because, like, I'm not even trying to make them my class. It's just, I can't stop.
I can't classback anyone as Prince without thinking of you, Brad.
It's just word association. Prince equals Brad.
Apparently. I'm not a prince, though. At least I hope. I don't think I am.
You're a prince to me.
Oh! A prince of breath would be like destroying people with your breath. That'd be sick.
That just sounds like you need a mint.
Oh no! My breath isn't bad, damn it. No, it'd just be like I destroy people by like asphyxiation. Talking to them.
No, asphyxiation.
Follow you and then you lead them off cliffs and it'll be really funny.
God.
Oh, you'd have little Bye, blue people. Poofy pants. Oh, we love little blue poofy pants.
Poof, 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 poof.
Little poofy pants.
Little pumpkin Look shorts. Look like
an absolute moron. That's why I like the mage outfit. At least I don't look stupid.
That's true.
You'd look a little stupid, but we love you anyway.
Oh, the drag. Rude. Damn. I'm getting owned in my own home like
this. What
the
hell, Danny? You're supposed to have Randall disease. Isn't that supposed to make you nicer?
Jesus.
Okay, I don't remember what I was saying.
Okay, now that we've talked about everybody's role, I guess what's the next first thing that we should talk about? Maybe, does it really matter what order everyone comes in? Because I guess it would be the same as just how the seasons run with like Tulip going first. Or, well, maybe not necessarily because we...
Well, you'd have to think about like Amelia went in before Tulip.
Amelia went in first.
Yeah. Amelia, then Tulip.
And no, then... not then. Then Simon and Grace.
Yeah, Simon and Grace would be next.
So you got Amelia, Simon, Grace, then Tulip.
Then Hazel.
Then Hazel.
Hazel is 7 years old. She's been in before Tulip got in.
Yeah. Did all of that stuff happen before Tulip got in?
She's like 6 years old.
No, because Amelia had already been bested.
That was back when she was still trying to create turtles, so that's when Hazel was born.
Oh, okay.
You're right. So Amelia, I keep saying it because I'm trying to keep it straight in my head. Amelia, Hazel. I guess Hazel would be created first because we don't know how long she's...
I wrote down how long Jesse and Grace.
It would probably have to be Simon and Grace first because didn't they say they've been there for 10 years?
Yeah, but we don't know how old Hazel is because she's not a regular kid. There's no guarantee that she ages like a child.
Gotcha.
Because she's a null.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying, yeah.
So she could, even though she looks really young, she could be, you know, 15, 20 years old. Who knows?
Yeah, she could have been there.
Because she's a null and she doesn't age.
Yeah, she could have been in there as long as Amelia has. So she could have been alive for 30 years.
Yeah,
so exactly. Grace and Simon have been on the car for over 7 years. So I guess they would have come in before Tulip was made. Or before Hazel. Tulip was made a little while before that.
Yeah. Hazel just comes in at an ambiguous time. Like, we can kind of... It doesn't matter particularly, I guess.
She's baby forever.
Because we can kind of fit that in as we need it.
Yeah, and it's not like it's super, super important for this one either, because client, player, and what's the other word? Client and server.
Yeah, client and server.
Client and server doesn't necessarily matter in this one because the train doesn't work like
that.
Yeah, we're working with a non-traditional sort of setting.
Yeah, so Amelia, Grace, Simon, Hazel... Tulip, Jesse, MT. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if the mirror car, if the mirror thing was in the future, then Tulip went in and then MT came back from the future. That's awesome.
Back from the future!
Hey!
All the time shenanigans. Amelia of the Witch of Time, she made the mirror car, and that's why all the people are coming back from there. Interact with Amelia. She's the time player.
She kind of gives them that, I guess, ability, maybe? She passes it on to them?
No, I think she just, like, opened sort of thing, the future. Or maybe she just, like, discovered the mirror car and, like, made it able to get back into the train. Something or other. Something about mirrors and time.
Yeah, I mean, she is a witch of time, so that is really breaking her aspect, you know, not making it work, yes, but making it work in a way that the game doesn't necessarily want you to do. Making a stationary time portal sort of thing, and that being the mirror car.
We haven't even added in 1-1 yet. Like, he's always there. Always watching. Maybe, like, 1-1 takes the role of, what's-his-face puppet man?
Being Scratch?
If you think about it, 1-1 is just a little ball shape, so you can easily replace the cue ball.
Yeah, you could just replace his head with 1-1.
Just put 1-1 on a little puppet. It's fine.
How interesting would that be, though, if you had a white king that ended up becoming...
Doc Scratch.
A Scratch-type character.
That'd be so cool. But what if 1-1 was piloting Randall? Just put Randall on the bottom and put 1-1 on his head.
Oh my god!
A trench coat!
Two gnolls in a trench coat! What will they do?
That's beautiful.
No, he'd be piloting the... What's the robot?
Are you talking about the one that Clubs Do sends up piloting?
No. The steward. He's piloting the steward.
The steward. Yeah. But yeah, so... We've established that it's kind of a non-traditional setting of, rather than your home world becoming the playing ground, the train takes you to the playing ground and subsequently also is the playing ground.
And it'll take you back when you're all done, probably.
Yeah.
Or that's what it tells you anyway.
Yeah, does the reckoning actually happen?
I'm in the field of saying no, because that kind of translates back to the source material of the world continuing on without you.
Okay, yeah, that you just disappear.
Exactly.
It just takes you into it, and you disappear.
You can't prove it happened.
It's kind of like a Jumanji sort of thing.
Okay, what if Amelia and Ulrich, they both found the code for Spurb, like how it works, you know, with other ones. They adapted it, they made it, they coded it, but they left out the clause that causes the reckoning, and so that's why it doesn't happen.
They made a ROM hack.
They made a ROM hack.
But in doing so, they made a memory leak.
Too bad.
Well, they made their Genesis Sog and they put him in a car.
And then he said, please don't kick me. And they were like, oh, wait, that's not... Is that supposed to talk?
Or if they made the code and then they realized that was going to happen, right? And they set it aside going, hey, we'll never run this because now we know what will happen. It will destroy everything. And then Ulrich dies and Amelia goes, screw it. I'm going to run it. I just will code that part out.
Or they coded the thing and they both went in, but Ulrich died. And now Amelia can't escape.
Yeah, ooh. Because if she was a time
single
player
session, yeah.
Yeah, she was a time player, he was her space player, and now with him gone, she can't finish her session.
That's why she's trying to get to the other sessions with the mirror car.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that a lot. Every single car is its own separate session.
So, really, Amelia is, like, making tons and tons of scratches, basically.
Without a reckoning.
Yeah, her making a ton of different cars is her just scratching sessions over and over and over again.
Maybe trying to get some kind of result where it's scratching her session instead of just making a new one. Trying to get a session where Ulrich didn't die.
Oh.
And that's kind of her failure as a time player, is that unlike Dave Sprite, she didn't get to save him.
She had a session where she had a child with Ulrich, but it was a doomed timeline, so she doesn't remember it, or it didn't exist for her.
Oh, and yeah, and that's where Hazel came from.
That's so sad. She doesn't have parents.
Oh, that's really fucked up.
I like that. And that kind of solves the problem of Hazel being a null and trying to give her some kind of backstory that makes her not a game construct, but not I came from Earth sort of player. You know what I mean?
But if she's from a doomed timeline, that means that she should die. So how would they prevent her from dying?
Well, since she's the daughter of a time and a space player, maybe she can just like go about the train since it's something that they created.
Consider this. She doesn't die because she's hope. Her hope is keeping her alive.
But since Tuba left the session, she was doomed to die. So sad.
Oh, yeah, so that's why Tuba died.
Tuba kind of took her role in, I guess, the relevance of Doom.
Sad brain hours.
Big sad brain hours.
Sad brain explosion.
No more Randall.
We're here to remind you that this is a charity podcast to save Danny.
Okay, but another thought. Would Randall get wheeled? Like, could you wheel something made of water? I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, I don't think he really could, huh?
Randall the Unkillable.
It's the same thing as the hydraulic press. It really wouldn't do anything. It'd just squish him out really bad.
And then you'd have mini Randalls.
And then he'd just, like, climb back up the wheel and be real mad. It's like, you tried to wheel me.
Hey, that's not very friendly. What if I push you? Would you like that? Push. And then he actually pushes you. And he says push as he's pushing you. Push.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, that's who you got. Just washing that little watery face stare at you as you fall to your death.
Green Bird from Cowboy Bebop plays.
See his face, cowboy.
That's what you get for being rude.
And just like where Spike is falling out the window, it's just slow motion of him just falling back.
What if instead of the Gomes killing Simon, Randall just showed up and like was the avenging angel for all the gnolls that he killed? So, like, how would you like being wheeled? And then he wheels Simon.
I am the Archangel of Gnolls. Fuck you, bad boy.
Archangel of Death.
Look at my wings of water. And then he just goes, whoosh.
Okay, but Hazel creating angels, how Jake does, like the ones that are on Aranin's planet. And,
yeah.
But this time, instead of actually being a scary, fucked up angel, it's just Randall with the angel wings.
I am Randall, and I shall avenge ye on the wings of vengeance.
Consider Hazel as a hope player creating an imaginary friend, but like all she has is water. So she created Randall.
Oh, so she created Randall to be her friend.
That's
she
cute.
What if she also created Tuba, though?
Yeah, she could do that.
She created a mom.
Tuba is her hope.
Big mom.
But conversely, she created another entity player that was cursed with the aspect of doom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Heirs are the creator class, so.
But I mean, it would kind of be like Brain Ghost Dirk of like, can't really die.
Tuba is Hazel's brain ghost Dirk.
Yeah.
What?
Brain ghost Tuba.
Brain ghost Tuba. I'm Tuba
oh
now.
Oh my gosh.
And then she's made Tuba, not realizing her hope powers. And then Tuba says, no, I'm Tuba for the both of us.
I'm Tuba for you and me.
An even worse thought. Brain ghost Randall. That's what I have. I have brain ghost Randall.
And we just keep bringing it back to the randomness.
Hey, welcome to the middle of the episode. This is the bit where I tell you about some cool projects we're aware of, let you know if anyone has any projects they want to share with us, and give you a little spiel about what Will at Homestuck does besides this podcast. First, if you weren't aware, we stream your fanfiction from Homestuck and other fandoms every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/willithomestuck. Join our Discord at the link in the description to suggest fics to read, or even join our community fic reads on the first Monday of every month. We'd also like to thank our class-specting undergrad, Sylph of Breath, as well as our Dreaming Moon scholars, Fleece, Kylo Ren, Riley Kai, Starshine, and Shane for helping out the show on Patreon. If you'd like to get a shout-out on the podcast, access to bonus episodes and outtakes, and more, please visit patreon.com/willithomestuck. Next, here's some projects we like, and an ad break if we have a sponsor. The Alabaster Bible is a podcast featuring short stories in the gothic horror and magical realism genres, specifically written to be read aloud. Stories will range from straight-up horror to weird reality stories and everything in between. In addition to telling well-crafted stories, the goal of the Alabaster Bible is to highlight elements of the human experience, especially those of LGBTQIA+ folks, in a way that is compelling and entertaining, but not exploitative. This project is the work of John I. O'Reilly and their collaborators. Episodes release on the first of every month. You can find out more information at alabasterbible.carrd.co. That's alabasterbible.carrd.co. or visit twitter.com/alabasterbible for updates.
Bradley Homestuck Liker. Hi, I'm Bradley Homestuck Liker. This is Danny. Danny has terminal Randall disease.
This is about the stupidest fucking thing I've ever done.
For just $413.99999 per month, you can permanently...
No, that's stupid.
You can help people like Danny and like Bradley and Tay who are...
Oh, fuck, no, that's not right. Oh my god.
You can help people like Danny and Bradley and Tay who also have stage 1 Randall disease. You can help them to combat this horrible affliction.
Randall brain disease.
Hey, we have a musical album we think you'd like to check out. Hit it, JoJo.
Now, after fan outcry and popular demand, the second installment in the Funk McLovin collection is here. Class Act. Class Act will feature songs from the Song A Day project, as well as new original music. And for viewers on Bandcamp, there will be a B-side to Class Act featuring various Funk McLovin cover songs. All your favorites will be there, like... Japanese Spider Crab.
The Japanese Spider Crab.
8 legs on each of my sides, and 2 nice long claws to boot. I'm the motherfucking Japanese Spider Crab. Don't try to tell me I ain't cute. I'm the longest arthropod.
You're at the ocean, but you're not alone. And many more.
Support Class Act by visiting funkmclovin.bandcamp.com. That's funkmclovin.bandcamp.com, or search for Funk McLovin on Spotify or Apple Music to partake in this experience.
Thanks. I hope you enjoy.
All right, back to the episode.
I don't want to, like, completely ruin, like, the train of thought that we were on train. But to talk about the other characters, when Tulip, Simon, and Grace all enter, what happens? Like, because we've got Amelia in, we've got Hazel in, we know how they come to be. The others enter the game, I guess, via finding the program and running it? Or does it come to them like the train does?
I mean, there's nothing stopping it from going the same way it did in the show, just the train shows up when you need it. Because it is essentially a train.
Well, what if because Amelia ran the program first, the program is now sentient and just trying to reach out to other potential candidates? So it's its own living thing now, kind of like Skaia.
It's like if Skaia had the ability to choose its players at will.
Yeah.
Which it kind of does in canon. I mean, it creates them via ectobiology. So yeah, it's just, in this case, it's selecting people that already exist and showing up with a ride to its dimension.
Yeah. That's interesting too, because like with Skaia, we never really got, you know, a clear origin for it. But with this, there is a clear origin, and it's that the games first started when Amelia and Alric ran theirs.
If the Miracar already existed before Tulip got in, it could have just been looking for Tulip to create the MT time loop.
Ooh.
It knew that Tulip needed to be on the train to create MT. So it went to go find her. And then it picked up Jesse, because Jesse needed to be there to do the MT thing too. And also to bring in Alan Dracula.
Paradox Spaceman.
Yeah.
Paradox Spaceman.
Like, shit, just hold on. Grab this kid, because we need to fix some stuff.
Gotta complete the loop.
And it needed a new space player, so it picked up Simon as baby.
Yeah, because Ulrich's gone.
Except that was, like, probably the worst possible pick it could ever have made.
Yes!
It picks up a whole bunch of other people. We just don't get to see their stories. Like, the kid in season 2 that killed the lizard, and the lunch lady, and whoever that businessman was. There's a whole bunch of people on the train. We just don't get to see their stories.
The most bloated suburb game in history. 500,000 players.
It would kind of be messed up if, like, the reason we don't really see their stories is because the train viewing relevance as, like, importance of whether or not it focuses on you. So if it doesn't think you can survive, it doesn't give a shit about you.
Yeah, it invites you on because you have to, it, like a butterfly effect, you kind of have a role to fill by, like, dying or influencing a car in some particular way.
Yeah.
But you don't really matter beyond just having that minor effect, and if you die on the car, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Kind of like how we know that there's a ton of spurb sessions that fail.
Yeah, yeah.
And go nowhere. It's in that exact same way that it picks up all of these hundreds and thousands of people, and they don't end up mattering at all, but they had to be picked up by the train because they disappeared from real life.
Yeah.
What about, like, John's, in Homestuck proper, John's dad's friend or his co-worker, the one that he's talking to on the cell phone?
Fedora Freak or whatever.
Yeah, Fedora Freak, yep.
Yeah, he's just in the background going god-tier, and we never get to see that story, but, like, he god-tiered. He went down on his questbed and died.
The gent of piss.
Oh, no. At least it's not a waste of space. Anyway, but that's, like, what all the people in the background are. They're, like, Fedora Freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them are successful, but we don't, what happens to them doesn't really matter. They don't influence what's happening with our kids or our protagonists. And so even if they succeed, or, like, if we're looking at it that every train car is, like, a different session, if we are looking at it like that, because we kind of kicked around that idea.
I feel like maybe it's a crossroads of sessions where each car is its own session, but it doesn't necessarily bar you off from traveling to others.
So it's like an intermingled, like, if every single Skya session, every single game session, the Spurb session, was daisy-chained together.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, like, through the gates. You have to go through gates to get to the next section anyway. The gates are just now doors.
The gates are now the doors of the train.
Yeah, there you go.
And sometimes you gotta build to get there. And that's like an allegory for your number going up or down.
There you go.
We did it.
I love this. It's so messed up, but I love it.
We broke Homestuck down to its basic components.
Through that, though, that's also interesting because 1-1, being both the Black and the White King, is just, they just exist once for all of these sessions. And so it's almost like an MMO in that it's a group effort to try to see if you can defeat that boss.
But do you even need to defeat the boss, or do you need to help him because Maybe. He needs to be in control of the train? So in this case, you're not trying to defeat the kings, you're trying to help them.
Because they've been exiled at this point, yeah.
Oh, you're trying to help them become not exiles anymore.
There you go, yeah.
So that was Tulip's journey to become not exiled, and then everyone else gets to do the session proper. Tulip was there to reset the timeline to get 1-1 back in charge, but everyone else gets to do session propers.
There you go.
I still like this quote from season 2. There are lots of denizens along the way to help you on your journey. Don't be afraid to reach out, unless they're one of those monsters with more teeth than body. That's just very Homestuck.
It's super fitting that Tulip's position is to heal because she's a maid.
Yeah, that's true.
She's like the ultimate maid.
She is healing, I guess. Knowledge, I guess, in a sense of how things are supposed to be. So rather, healing order.
Like, she did so good that even Amelia got back to what she was supposed to be doing.
There you go. She put her back in, you know, Amelia's proper session.
Or at least her proper session role. But the thing is that she's trying to travel back to her own Asperb session, and she's so far out.
Yeah.
I think Tulip coming back into the game is what set everyone else's sessions going. Because, like, Amelia wouldn't have found Hazel if Tulip hadn't put her back on the path, and, like, Simon and Grace wouldn't be there, and
there you go, yeah.
Tulip's like the most important player in Homestuck.
Tulip's the most important character in Homestuck.
What are you gonna do while I'm at game design camp? Die of boredom?
Die of boredom.
You know, it'd be interesting if the mirror crew came after Tulip's session, because, well, really it kind of did in show form. They appeared in season 2. They obviously were there in season 1 a little bit. But if the mirror crew was established afterwards as a way to be like, bad and naughty players can't do this anymore.
This is now patched out. Nobody else is allowed to do this, okay? In this MMO, this is now banned. It's a bannable offense.
So a third set of Carpathians is made to be these upkeepers, and as like honor for Tulip, they make MT in her design.
In her image.
Yeah, in her image. And so everybody's like, oh, you're Tulip, oh, yeah.
But then she rebels.
Exactly. She's like, I'm not Tulip.
I'm not this role that you put me in. I don't want to be an homage to a person that doesn't even exist on this train anymore.
Second idea, Tulip as the Chrome King.
Tulip is the Chrome King.
Oh, I love this.
She exiles herself off the train. She's like, I don't want to be on the train anymore. That's her journey. Her journey is to exile herself from the train.
Eats an onion and Ollie's out.
She needs Jesse. She needs a heart player.
But karmically, then she does influence her, or like fulfill her role, I mean, helping players, because every exile does end up helping players. And they made her in the image of Tulip in that sort of, you need to be the custodian and keep things in line. She rebels and ends up helping players anyways.
So she ends up becoming an exile. Yeah.
1-1 is the black and white king. You're doing so well at your job. She's like, no. It's like, why would you leave? You're doing exactly what you're supposed to.
Kicks a trash can over. That's wonderful that you did that. You just completed an unstable time loop.
No! God damn it!
1-1 is the black and white king confronting her as the chrome king. And then being like, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to. We're helping all the passengers. And she's like, I don't want to help the passengers anymore. I want to get off the train.
We've been looking for you. Here's your crown. I don't want your crown. I don't want to be the king.
Yeah.
You don't want to be king? Also, I like that because MT is non-binary. So like, they can, MT can be a king.
Yeah, we made her the Lord of Rage. So... that's so powerful. She deserves it.
She does. So
Lord Great being a king, all that stuff. Anyways, yeah, what were you going to say?
Okay, so with all of this established, we've kind of got a stable setting going on. How does this end for some of the other people like Grace and Simon? Obviously, we don't really have a concrete ending for Amelia and Hazel yet because we don't have a fourth season.
I think what happens is that both Grace and Simon enter together and they've got their own session and they do pretty well in it, but they decide that they don't even want to leave the game, obviously. They mm-hmm. don't want to leave the train.
So they just don't complete their journeys.
Yeah, they just wander through other people's sessions and then, yeah, just fail miserably at their objective.
You know what would be interesting? So Grace and Simon both have this escapism aspect about them. Mm-hmm. And you've got the whole Amelia is the true conductor. No, 1-1's the true conductor. Because Amelia altered the code, what if the game was originally supposed to function so that if you win, you can make your own world, right? But Amelia took that out because she knew that if you make your own world, then where does yours go? She didn't like that, so she wrote that out. So she effectively took out the thing that they actually want, and then also calling her like the false conductor. There's just some irony in that.
What if it was originally a power to make your own train car when you got out, but like she took that power away from everyone else, so now she's the only one who can make train cars, but like since she's not supposed to be making train cars, she can only make turtle cars.
This player exploit has now been patched out.
Yeah. Seriously.
God's curse on Cain, but now all the train cars that you make are turtles.
It's turtles all the way down.
That was a little too OP, so we've decided it's now patched out. Man, how mad would they be
exactly
finding out that they could have created their own train car, but because of Amelia, it flips their hero worship of Amelia on its head. And that also explains why that would be so devastating to Simon, because that's everything they ever wanted, was to be able to create their own world. And to find out that the one that they hero worshiped for so long is the reason why they can't anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be less mad at Grace even, and more mad at Amelia at first. And then Grace sticks up for Amelia, and it ends up with him hating them both.
Grace would be defending her in that, why would you do that? Why would you take away that ability? And she explains it like, I wanted it just for myself because I was being selfish. I just wanted my husband back. But as I found out, trying to exploit that, trying to get back somebody who's gone, life's not that convenient. And that's a hard lesson that this train has taught me. So I'm sorry that that repercussion has happened for all other players. But if you want my opinion on it, maybe that's a blessing. Because giving people this supposed power to create what they want, life doesn't work that way. It's a big, empty promise. And so Grace, having started to change a little bit, is kind of eyebrow raised, like, oh, yeah, you know what, maybe you're right. I wanted to run away from my life and everything and change it all, but rather than changing my life itself, I've just ran from it and tried to make something new, and maybe that's not the best thing for me.
Maybe I should go back and complete our Asperb session. Maybe we should go back and try to get off the train. And then Simon just wholesale rebels against that and refuses to, and tries to gain that power back.
Exactly.
Can you imagine, like, all this time Amelia's been making train cars and Simon and Grace have just been going through and destroying them? Oh, that'd be irritating.
Ah, more irony. Yes. I like that.
That's basically what they're doing.
Because they're like, they're thinking it's one's cars, but it's Amelia's.
God damn it, children.
The dramatic irony of all of this. Jesus Christ.
We love irony.
God damn you kids.
Get off my lawn. My little turtle lawn. The lawn where I keep my turtles.
I find it funny that we've classpected everybody, but a lot of these classpects are kind of falling to the wayside. They're not really used all that much, because if you're in one giant cooperative Spurb session, then your individual aspects and classes don't hold as much weight.
You're just a drop in the Randall piss bucket.
Bad. Bad, 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 bad. They are, like,
naughty.
They are useful because Tulip is the maid of mind. She fixes things with her brain powers, and Amelia is the witch of time. Like, that is important to her character, but, like, once we've created the characters, they just go off on their own thing and they don't need to use their powers all the time. They just have their own little character journey. The only one we haven't talked about as much is Jesse, the Knight of Heart. He was role-playing the Knight of Blood, but he is the Knight of Heart. It's like using those connections. That's why he needed to be brought onto the train to bring MT out. Create a stable time loop. They're just doing their own thing in their own little area. And they're also bringing Alan Dracula onto the train.
Yes. They needed, like,
they needed the most charming motherfucker, because nobody else would be able to charm MT into doing anything for anybody.
Basically, the train was like, we need the Chrome King to just
chill out.
Have an ending to their story, so let's how are we gonna do that? Get them off the train? Well, they're not gonna leave. Hey, you, kid! Yeah, you! Yeah,
kind
I'm
of
talking
stupid
to you!
Stupid and fun.
It's funny, too, because, like, MT's whole thing was getting off the train, but in this case, it's kind of flipped of, like, no, I don't wanna!
Mason Steve is Spade Slicks and Diamond Stroog. Their job was to bring the Chrome King back to the car, but they failed because MT's too strong.
There you go. MT was too strong-willed, so the train is like, alright, well, if we can't bring you, restore you back to your position as king, then you're just gonna have to get out.
Exile.
You just need to leave. I am forcibly escorted off of the train.
And MT says, no, fuck you! Has a little switchblade.
I'll stab you. Can you imagine if she had or that same accent that they that all of them have, the kind of 20s gangster accent?
God,
I'm gonna stick you.
What if she, like, has to fight against that accent her entire ride? She's, like, trying so hard not to slip back into her accent.
I'm not transcontinental, god damn it.
Maybe I am. Fuck. because it's such an easy identifier that she's a part of the Mirror Crew, if that's her accent, so she tries really hard to suppress it, but then it just comes out really hard. Me too! I try not to go too southern in these, but it happens.
But occasionally, you just go yee-haw.
Sometimes the yee-haw just jumps out.
We need the yee-haw sometimes in these trying times.
Sometimes you just need a yee a little haw.
Sometimes you need a little bit of cowboy content in these trying times.
I'm a cowboy, baby. Any other notes? More lesbians.
You know what would be cute? Is if Atticus was...
a very good boy.
Tulip's actual dog that made it onto the train with her.
And became sentient because of the game or because of the train.
Yes.
I mean, that would make sense.
In the same way, what if the train screwed up animals that came onto it?
And just made them talk. That's why Atticus is the king of Corginia. Because he made such an impact on the car that they were like, you're our king now. And he was like, well, that's all very nice, but I have to go with my owner. Tulip is my master. But then they, like, erect statues and everything of Atticus, and they're like, we will remember you, sir.
Bark, bark.
Bark, bark.
That's like Taz Amnesty with the portal into Sylvain. I don't know if you guys listen to Taz Amnesty, but basically...
I haven't yet.
Animals who go through the gate, sometimes they come out partially humanoid. It just happens sometimes. Sometimes they can just talk now. That's just a thing that happens.
It's kind of like what happened to Tuba.
Pretty much. You go onto the train as an animal and suddenly you're talking like a person. Talking like people.
Animals have problems too. She was the sad gorilla that lost her baby.
She needed a new baby.
You know, we talked about originally the idea of Tuba Sprite being a thing where you threw a gorilla and a tuba in there, but then we ended up making Tuba into like a brain ghost creation by
Hazel.
Hazel to have some sort of guardian or have some sort of companion. Do kernel sprites even have a function in this?
I guess they wouldn't, because prototyping isn't necessary, because fighting the king is not the thing that you need to do. Because
if you had millions of players prototyping, dear Lord God.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, all of them eventually have something following them around, like Simon had Samantha.
So yeah. Consorts just fill the role of kernel sprites.
Yeah, I like that.
Sometimes you just get an animal companion and magical powers. That's just how it works sometimes.
That's just how it do.
Hey, the Infinity Train turns everyone into magical girls, no exceptions.
Yes.
You get a talking animal, you get a superpower, you get cool outfit changes sometimes. It just is, you're just magical girl now.
Yeah.
That with a little dash of like Disney princess.
Great.
Okay, so... we've got a lot of good foundation and everything laid out. And is there anything in particular else that we need to touch on? Like any specifics?
There's dreaming moons.
Yeah, that's true. But in that regard...
they're also not important, I guess.
Yeah.
Do they even exist?
Yeah. Do the moons even matter? Because if the Carpathians are just kind of out and about anyway...
unless there are like two cars that are specifically dedicated to be Prospect and Durst.
Which, I mean,
but
maybe,
then there would just be, like, thousands of people roaming around on the moon. There'd be so many people, can you imagine?
Yeah, so I guess dreaming wouldn't really be a thing.
Considering the Prospect and Durst were just the places where the Carpathians wander, it wouldn't make sense, like, to have them just in a car. They're just out and about now.
They're just kind of...
yeah, they have, like, a home car, but they can wander as they please.
We do see Tulip waking up from sleep, but we don't see her dreaming self. So I wonder if there is a dreaming self that would, like, take you to one of the moons, but, like, it doesn't really matter. Unless it's, like, you dream of outside the train, which, that would be a terrible time to sleep.
You automatically dream outside the train, which is where the horror terrors are.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So that would only happen if you, you know, died and your dream self didn't exist normally. But in this case, you just automatically dream of horror terrors.
Everyone dreams of horror terrors.
That's fun.
You know, it'd be sad outside of the car if the clouds of Skaia were just pictures of your life that you've left behind.
Your memories.
Yeah.
Your tape.
But specifically little windows into what's going on without you.
Oh my god, that's sad.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Why would you do this?
You're welcome.
Oh, what if it's like that white room with all the fog and it's taking your memories out into a tape? That's the other place you can go. You could either dream of horror terrors or you can just dream of your memories being ripped out of your head and into a VHS.
One just has a giant projector up at the clouds.
Like, it's not magic that's making this happen. He's just got a projector that's pointed at the clouds.
It's like a bat signal, but for painful memories.
And it's like a classroom projector that sucks really bad, too.
Considering the tapes are a place that you can get lost in, it could be like you either get a place where you get lost in your memories or you get lost in the desert of the world where you could be chased by little gnomes. It's like, don't sleep on the drain.
The gnomes are the horror terrors.
Yep.
Yeah, the gnomes are like the emissaries of the horror terrors.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty much done.
Are we?
Unless you want to have like another Randall moment.
Yeah. There's not really much else that we really need to discuss because like we've got the basic outline for each story. We know Jesse and MT make it off of the train, so they complete their session.
There's still a few more things, like the veil, but we kind of talked about that being the outside of the train and having horror terrors. What else is there? Let me look at this list real quick, because I feel like there was something that I kept thinking that we needed to discuss, and we just didn't get to it. Their planets, I guess, would be the individual train cars that they start out on?
Yeah, I think so. That makes most sense.
Like, Tulip's perfect one is a little grid car. It's, like, so perfect for her.
Mathematical.
I'm just looking at the list real quick. Just looking at it. Always good. Let's see if there's anything else. Do other universes' sessions influence this session? Yes, very much so. It's a daisy chain of hell.
Infinity Train would be so cool to have a crossover with Adventure Time.
Oh, that would be really cool.
That would be cool.
I feel like they fit together.
There's literally an Infinite Train episode of Adventure Time. I saw a lot of people bring that up, like, ha, Adventure Time did it first.
I mean, considering they're also on a post-apocalyptic world with, like, talking animals and such.
True.
Yeah.
Adventure Time is, if the reckoning happened in this, Adventure Time is the result.
There's one human left.
And then one day everybody off the train just ended up going back to Earth somehow.
Oh my gosh, Jake is Alan Dracula.
Jake is Alan Dracula, pretty much. Just a deer version.
There you go.
And he can talk.
Or like the Rainicorns.
Maybe Jake is Alan Dracula's descendant.
I love it.
A couple hundred years later and you get Jake.
Deer makes dog.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. It's just like two horses taped together would be an octopus.
It happens in nature sometimes. But yeah, so yeah, with that, I think we actually do have everything.
I swear, I feel like there's something else that we're forgetting here.
I mean, we could go into detail about, like, people's weapons and stuff like that, but, like, I feel like that's such a minute detail that it doesn't really matter as much. Because this is a very non-traditional setting.
Here's a fun little detail. The backpacks that Simon and Grace used to get around the train, they could just alchemize that crap.
Yeah, that's a fun detail.
Yeah, it's like the perfect alchemy thing. Oh, alchemy. We didn't talk about alchemy.
What would you even combine that with? Like
one of those kids' spy kits and a backpack.
Magnets. They're basically just like magnets and rope.
The idea of an elevator and magnets and like a yo-yo ball.
And a grappling hook.
Like one of those like yo-yo balls that automatically retract and then a backpack.
Simon alchemized his shoes.
Yes, he did.
Those evil, evil shoes.
Is he the Friska? No, Grace was the Friska.
Grace is the Friska.
Yeah. That means he's Therese with the shoes.
Whoa, Grace is really the Vriska because she's got the apex that she's got following her. And that's essentially like Vriska at the end of Homestuck collecting the ghost army to go and fix her session and fix all of their sessions too.
True.
Rather than fighting like Lord English, she's just like leading them all on this journey to
complete the train.
Fix all of their suburb sessions and fix like all of the things that were broken by all of them leaving their sessions.
She's the second Tulip.
She's the new Tulip!
If there's ever a part 4, do you want to do another episode? Just like updating this one.
Hell yeah, I want to do it!
Yeah,
I would. Absolutely.
Yas.
Yas.
Maybe there'll be more lesbians. I love lesbians.
Maybe.
We can only pray.
We can only pray that maybe Grace will meet a nice girl.
I mean, she's got buff peace, grandma.
Peace. I want to see her again.
I want to see my Gracie girl.
Be with Hazel. I want to see my little girl.
I was thinking the other day while I was at work that Amelia is Grand MILF.
Grand MILF? You're right. Gilf.
Gilf.
She's just the Grand MILF. It's like a title of honor.
Or Grilf.
Grilf.
She's so strong. She has muscles.
Like Grunkle Stan, but it's just Grilf.
Grilf Amelia.
Grant Amelia.
Grant. That's even worse than Grunkle. Because it's like Gaunt Great Aunt. But she's not gone. Oh no, she's got some guns, baby. That's the good shit.
What if Amelia also adopts Grace? Like, just her and Hazel, just daughters. Hazel and Grace could be sisters forever.
I would appreciate that.
That'd be so nice.
That would heal my soul.
They deserve to be found family.
They do.
Sometimes a family is just a Grilf and her two daughters, one of which is a turtle.
And sometimes a gorilla.
And sometimes a gorilla. And the gorilla's imaginary friend, Randall.
That's a good closer.
I guess, yeah, I can go ahead and record the outro, huh? That's about it. We've done it.
Sometimes Randall needs to be included. Just because. Just to touch a Randall.
Remember to donate.
It's turned into Randall syndrome.
We've all caught it too, so like eventually we'll need this, but...
But like, we're good. Danny's the one that's in stage two right now.
Guys, I'm just Randall brain. It's time for me to take a nap. It's time for nap time.
Yes. It's time for you to take a nap.
You sound very tired. All right.
Well, let's do the outros. And wow, this is the last Infinity Train episode.
For now.
Possibly.
It's like TBD.
Unless season four gets happened. Gets happened. Jesus Christ.
It's the end, or is it?
The end? Okay, well, yeah. Thank you all for listening to this long, ridiculous journey that has been Infinity Train. This has been Bradley. You can find me on the Will at Homestuck Discord.
I'm Danny. I'm also on the Will at Homestuck Discord. And I have been awake for too long.
Go to sleep.
I'm working on it.
This has been Tay. You can find me at Meowsers Wowsers on Twitter.
Good night, Tay.
Well, guys. Oh, my gosh. Good night.
Good night.
Get some rest, childrens. We love you. Mwah.
Good night, sweet prince.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, follow us at WillItHomestuck on Twitter for updates. If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon or Ko-fi, both of which are at WillItHomestuck. Don't forget to check out our weekly fanfiction streams at WillItHomestuck on Twitch. You can even join in our community streams the first Monday of every month. Like I mentioned at the top of the episode, Season 1 of WillItHomestuck has ended. Thank you. I won't be appearing on any episodes for the next 2 months, but community episodes will still be coming out sporadically, aka either as I edit them or if people give me fully edited episodes, which you can do. And I plan on returning on February 6th, 2021. Thank you again to everyone who listens or hangs out on the Discord, because you're really what's keeping this goddamn year going for me. Alrighty, I'll catch you in 2021. I love you. Bye.